eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
What's up, everyone? Julie Stewart Binks here, along with former NHL player Nate Thompson.
We're doing a new podcast together. Here we go.
The name? Energy Line with Nate and JSB.
Each week we'll get together and talk about hockey, life, all topics are fair game, right?
Exactly. And you'll never know who will drop by to join us.
Julie is pretty well connected. She has text threads going that you wouldn't believe.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Mel Reid, LPGA Tour winner and six-time Ladies European Tour winner.
And Kira K. Dixon, NBC Sports reporter and host.
And we've got a new podcast, Quiet Please, with Mel.
And Kira, we are bringing you spicy takes on sports and pop culture, some interviews with incredible people who have figured out how to make golf their superpower.
An iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment. You can find us on iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Elf Beauty, founding partner of iHeart Women's Sports.
Ever wonder what it would be like to be mentored by today's top business leaders? My podcast, This Is Working, can help with that. Here's some advice from Jamie Dimon, the CEO of JPMorgan Chase, on standing out from the leadership crowd.
Develop your EQ. A lot of people have plenty of brains, but EQ is, do you trust me? Do I communicate well? Develop the team, develop the people, create a system of trust, and it works over time.
I'm Dan Roth, LinkedIn's editor-in-chief. On my podcast, This Is Working, leaders share strategies for success. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Tuesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, that is Kelly Bidlin, everybody. My little friend.
How's it going?
Losing weight left and right is Kelly. But he actually knows the cause of his weight gain, unlike Mookie Betts, which is a whole nother story.
Yes. Very different. Yeah.
Which, by the way, until the good news of, at least we hope it's good news, that Dave Roberts, the Dodgers manager, now says that Mookie has turned a corner and can actually hold down solid food. Until we got that news, it was kind of a harrowing story.
Between him and Porzingis earlier in the month, like, man, weird stories.
For those who missed it, Mookie has lost 18 pounds since right before the trip to Tokyo for the Dodgers. And they do believe now, though, that he will play in the opener against Tarek Skubal and the Tigers on Thursday. But he's down to 157 pounds. You see the picture of him with the jersey on? He looked completely skinny.
No, I didn't. But I mean, I was going to say, that guy's already skinny enough. Yeah. Him losing 18 pounds, that's a lot.
So for baseball itself, let alone Dodgers fans, we hope that Mookie is a go and that this is behind him. Even though it's undiagnosed, they still have no idea what happened.
I mean, that's none whatsoever. Like, that would still scare the hell out of me. And like, these guys are getting the best medical treatment on the planet. We've heard so many stories over the years of, God, what was it, Caris LeVert, when he went to the Cavaliers and they found like a cancerous tumor. The team doctors, just stuff like that.
That's
like,
right.
They get access to
if he doesn't get traded, they don't discover.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Like, these guys get access to things that the rest of us don't. So it's just kind of wild when you hear these stories, but they don't know what's going on.
On the show today, Drew Dinsick will join us in his new time slot, by the way, because Drew's got other things to do now in terms of his media. So we have him now in the second hour every Tuesday, Drew from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcasts, both to talk NBA and tennis with us a little later on. Paul Spohr will join us. We're not sure if Paul is joining us for one or two segments. Kelly has decided, after being inspired by Maryland coach Kevin Willard, he has just decided to say to the guests, which one of you wants the ball? Which one of you? And Spore is like, maybe, we'll see. So we don't know if it's one segment or two. We'll
find out. Applies to multiple guests today, yeah. That's Paul that's and right. Matt Brown. Matt Brown might be in the last segment. I don't really know.
We don't know if he's showing up. We do know Al Bernstein will show up, though. Al Bernstein wants to talk a little bit about George Foreman, so that's always a pleasure. And then Will Hill will join us here momentarily to talk about all of his Sweet 16 plays and anything else he's betting these days. Let's go to a couple just sort of betting case studies here. Yesterday, we got bounced from our future play in the Miami Open, the second half of the Sunshine Double in tennis, when Naomi Osaka lost to Jasmine Paolini in three sets.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo.
And this is just this is for the new or newish bettors. This is a PSA about being able to sort of handle negative variance and not being able to sort of handle negative variance and sort of not being on the other, being able to process that in a sort of objective way. So when you lose a bet, you're going to have a section of people who are, they're either haters or they have the bet. They're like, you suck, you lost, right? There's that group. You try not to be that group. So yesterday, Naomi Osaka went 3-for-15 on break points. Now, this is not an excuse, by the way. This is the other thing about a PSA for betting that we should say. Dr. Bob gets a lot of criticism for this, too. When he loses bets, he's always telling you, well, here's why we lost and all this. Okay, I can only speak for myself. This is not and by the way, Bob doesn't mean it as an excuse either. But what it is tennis, right? Sometimes you are not going to be on the side of positive variance. So she ends up 3-of-15 on break points. By the way, Paolini was 3-of-5 at the same time while Osaka was going 3-of-15. If Osaka converts just one of those 12 missed chances. By the way, 3-of-15 is a very low percentage on break points in a match. The fact that you have 15 opportunities to break is an incredible thing in a match. But the point I'm trying to make is that's tennis, and sometimes it's not going to go your way. It's sort of like the poker hand where you're all set up mathematically. All you need is for there not to be a queen on the last card that is flipped over. And bam, there's a queen. So it's still, even if the handicap is good, it's still got to go your way. And so in the case of Osaka, I'm just trying to point out the thin line between hitting a future or two of these versus not winning at all is she doesn't convert one of the other 12 chances. She loses to Paolini. And then right after that, Coco Gauff gets bounced from her quarter. And we would have had it set up as Osaka as a favorite over Lynette in the quarterfinal to try to hit our quarter future. So I just want to point out once again, this is part of being a good better long term for the newer bettors is going to be able to process, hey man, it's still a good bet. It was still a great handicap. By the way, if I'm playing a future on someone not named Iga Świątek, I mean business in a ladies tournament. And it was, that was the quarter to play her in. Again, 7-to-1. Some people got better on her a quarter. 66-to-1. We had her to win it all. In what has been a hard court season, let me be the first to say, that has not been the hard court seasons we've been accustomed to around here. Sort of the wife that is about to get divorced. I don't know the lifestyle I'm accustomed to. This has not been 2021, 22, or 23 hard courts, or 24 for that matter. This has been a hard court season where the upsets that I normally hit on aren't manifesting, but the ridiculous upsets of the top players like the Carlos Alcarazes and the Daniil Medvedevs and the top players like Coco, the ones that I would not necessarily predict are actually the ones coming through. So that's just been the nature. Nothing is ever static. But I think the Osaka thing is a good case study for folks who are like, it's not an excuse. It's just tennis, right? Sometimes it's not going to go your way. Yes, can it be frustrating? I'll tell you when it got frustrating for me yesterday is when Arthur Fils, our first play yesterday, then he started out like 1-of-9 on break points. And the two of those combined, I'm like, is this a joke?
Yeah.
Right? But you have to be able to understand, wow, think about the thin line we had from getting bounced completely and perhaps winning at the very least the quarter. At a 7-to-1. That's betting sometimes. By the way, we do have three tennis plays today after a 1-and-2 yesterday where Fils was the only winner ultimately. And one of those was Fonseca, who was up a break in the third, and then he just gassed against Dimonor, who's an energizer bunny. And then the third one we were just wrong on. But Magda Lynette, speaking of Magda Lynette, +150 versus Paolini. is the play. And I believe we're on a really good CLV on that. Again, this is for all subscribers, VSiN.com/picks, every host, every guest, every sport, all their plays for subscribers at VSiN.com/picks. Played all these were given out last night, and Bill 80 does that where he puts them up for us. Lynette right now, and I just want to make sure that it's in the playable range here on her, because we get +150, and right now Lynette is at +131. Not exactly the same. I wouldn't play it any lower than +135. Let's put it that way. Nakashima +160 versus Dimitrov is play number two. I think that's way too high on Brandon Nakashima, +144 now. Don't get below +145 on that. And Gael Monfils +127 against Sebastian Korda. Monfils is +112. That one I would not play at +112. So we got, again, great CLV on all of them. You know what that means, Kelly. Not a damn thing in the end.
Yeah, you can get a nice stuffed panda at the CLV store. I want to ask you about these futures, because I was typing this up this morning. On the men's side now, I don't remember the last time we've been in a tournament, period, that you and I have talked about that you've been betting, and we looked at futures prices, which is, yes, usually the Grand Slams and then some of the other bigger ones. But you are talking 10 guys that are 18-1 or shorter over at DraftKings to win the Miami Open now with the field that is remaining.
That's because Carlitos got bounced.
It's wild, though. Yep. I mean, Djokovic, Zverev, Sebastian Korda down to 7-1. Like, this is... it's just wild.
Yeah, that's too short on Korda. We're actually against him today. I would think everybody else, though, is justified. I don't know why Korda would be in there. But Djokovic, Sasha Zverev, Dimonor, Fritz. You know, you could even make a case for Dimitrov, even though I'm fading him today as well. I think that's all justified now that Carlitos is out. And there's Novak, who you called and didn't bet beforehand. The other sort of case study in betting yesterday. So Cam Ward finally had his pro day. He did show up. He did have one signature pass where he was fading to, or sort of flushed out to the left, threw it across his body, and it was beautiful, and everybody's going crazy. But what we're looking for betting purposes, we're looking for a tell on anything. Like, is Tennessee absolutely going to draft Cam Ward number one? And Kelly, in addition to them sending their brass, their front office brass, which, by the way, Cleveland did not. Kevin Stefanski, Andrew Berry, their GM, neither were there for it. So Cleveland is like, we're clearly not drafting this dude. He's going one. Tennessee had their social media folks out there. They had their social media folks out there and a crew, a film crew. Isn't that the tell? More than them having their coach and their GM and all that, isn't that part the tell that they are absolutely drafting Cam Ward at this point?
Yeah, this is a great tweet from Zach Jackson. Titans have their head coach, GM, team president, and more from their football staff here in Miami. In case you wanted more of a tell, Titans also have their in-house TV and website production team here for Cam Ward. Now, maybe they're just really good forward-thinking, Gil, and they don't want to have to do this again later.
Or maybe it's a tremendous, elaborate scheme to throw people off the scent and say, oh, we're drafting them, make your offers. You could say that. And there is a draft history, right? Like, I can remember the morning you woke up and you thought Rocket Ismael was going number one, and then you found out it was Russell Maryland right before the draft.
Yeah.
There was the Baker Mayfield, my pinned tweet still from 2018, where... You know, the Will Hill people were like, you knew Baker Mayfield was going number one. No, I didn't. Nobody knew until the last few hours that Baker Mayfield was going number one. He was supposed to be in the middle of the draft. So there's still a month. We still don't know 100%. We'll never know 100% until the card is actually up there and Goodell actually says the name. But it sure looks like it's Cam Ward at one.
I mean, are you not? I woke up this morning, though, when I checked those odds, I was shocked that they didn't move at all. I mean, at DraftKings, that number did not move at all.
It's still at what?
-700. After that information, I thought we were going to be seeing -1200, -1500.
Is that because of the draft history? They just don't want to get caught?
I think it's that, Gil. I do. Like, I think it's partially that.
Or people are just slow to react also.
Or that.
We're too close to the sun on the draft and no one else is really betting. Coming back, Will Hill, Sweet 16, next on A Numbers Game.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss.
After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit Ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
On November 5th, 2018, at 6:33 a.m., a red Volkswagen Golf was found abandoned in a ditch out in Sleep Hole Valley. The driver's seat door was open. No traces of footsteps leaving the vehicle. No belongings were found, except for a cassette tape lodged in the player. On that tape were 10 vile...
No!
Grotesque...
Oh my God!
Horrific stories that to this day have been kept restricted from the public. Until now. You feeling this too? A horror anthology podcast. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Julie Stewart Banks. I'm doing a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts and the National Hockey League, and I'm paired up with one of my favorite players, the always quotable Nate Thompson.
I wore 9-inch sweaters, and I have story after story to share. And believe it or not, I have plenty to say, and not just about hockey.
Believe me, he does. Energy Line with Nate and JSB is the name of the podcast, and it's going to be, well, it's going to be quite the ride. We're officially line mates, Nate. We're the Energy Line.
We'll have plenty of folks join us, current players, some of my former teammates, Hall of Famers, and wait till you see some of the connections that Julie has. She has quite the Rolodex.
Okay, we'll lean into Nate's playing experience and tap into our interests away from hockey and try to do what Energy Lines are supposed to do, provide an emotional boost. How do you feel about all that, Nate?
I'm vibing, Julie. I'm ready to roll.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Brendan Patrick Hughes, host of Divine Intervention. This is a story about radical nuns in combat boots and wild-haired priests trading blows with J. Edgar Hoover in a hell-bent effort to sabotage a war.
J. Edgar Hoover was furious. Somebody violated the FBI. And he wanted to bring the Catholic left to its knees.
The FBI went around to all their neighbors and said to them, "Do you think these people are good Americans?"
It's got heists, tragedy, a trial of the century, and the goddamnedest love story you've ever heard.
I picked up the phone, and my thought was, this is the most important phone call I'll ever make in my life.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, Brendan, it was divine intervention.
Listen to Divine Intervention on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out Sweet 16 game previews, Greg Peterson's best bets in college hoops, and Adam Burke's MLB team previews. Later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's best bets in the NBA, Jonathan Davis's best bets in the NHL, and Wes Reynolds' Houston Open preview. To get access to all the articles and betting guides on VSiN.com right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is from Jesse Welch. Please tell me we're talking some NBA awards today because I'm sitting with Green and SGA, and I'm so confused. Guess he's talking about defensive player of the year there.
Draymond getting gotten steamed big time in the past week or two.
Do you believe that? Do you buy into that? That's justified? What is SGA right now? Defensive player of the year. He's still a ridiculous number.
Pull it up. Look, this market's been out of whack since Wemby went out, and there is All I'm going to say is it's a very unclear defensive player of the year field right now of players. Right now, Draymond Green minus 130, Mobley plus 110, Dyson Daniels 14-1, Jackson Jr. 20-1, Lou Dort 50-1, Vince Zubats 150-1, and SGA 150-1.
So SGA went down to 151, or up, however you want to describe that. But how does Draymond, like, what did Draymond do to justify this all of a sudden?
I mean, look, it's a combination of where the Warriors team defense is at when he's on the court and some of the individual stats. But the problem is now that the thing that with Wemby out now, and you don't have the same kind of Rudy Gobert cases you've had in the past couple years where he's kind of anchoring that number one defense with all the blocks. Now you've got a bunch of dudes who kind of are not pure rim protectors, so they don't get the clean block stats as much, and everybody's having to try to read into this market a little bit more.
This just feels to me, and I'm a Warriors guy, but this just feels to me like it's the March of the Penguins thing, where it's like, and then one day, one penguin takes a step to the left, right? And then every penguin follows him across, and they migrate. I just think there's somebody made a bet on Draymond and moved a little, and everybody's like, oh my God, Draymond.
It's been a lot of that. Ever since Wemby's been out, it's been that. Dyson Daniels got steamed huge, you know, what was that, 3-4 weeks ago? Now he's back to 14-1. Draymond Green the past week and a half gotten steamed huge.
Dan Groeschel, I was able to catch Paolini at plus money yesterday as a hedge. Would rather have won Osaka, but I still came out ahead. Good for you, Dan Groeschel. Stringfellow Hawk, Gil's tennis picks owe us nothing. We ride or die, hashtag ANG Mossad. I love Stringfellow's my dude. Corbin, so yesterday I ripped HBO for canceling the Lakers winning time, slightly going back on what I said yesterday. I have a documentary suggestion, not sure if it's been brought up on the show yet, but the Celtic City on HBO, only 2 episodes in, but it's fantastic so far. Is that the Bill Simmons one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet. The chances of me watching a Bill Simmons Celtics doc is slim to none. Ever since I sent him that email as a kid. And he's like, what's the biggest comeback in NBA history? And I gave him a Bullets comeback where they scored the last 18 points in a playoff game against the Malone, Dr. J, Barkley Sixers in a playoff game. And they scored the last 18 and won the game. And he's like, yeah, some teams aren't as important. That's what he sent me back. That was the end of me and Bill Simmons right there. And then Trip Tepper. Gil, can you coax Todd Wishnev and Will Hill to perhaps do a Sweet 16 pod this week on your Beating the Book feed? Well, I don't know if I can coax him to do that, but I can coax Will Hill on to talk about it now. How about that? Will Hill joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at @NotTheWillHill. He's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, in addition to doing the Megapod and Chris Felica's Bear Bets pod over at Fox Sports. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, Kelly, what's going on, guys? I'm good. You can always coax me. I'm always down for some coaxing.
Okay. All right. I know he likes the coaxing on some stuff. All right. Sweet 16. The lines come out. Which is the one or two that popped up and you're like, oh, that's not good. I'm betting that.
You know, it's I tweeted about it. And I think I texted you guys too, and it's kind of jokingly exaggerating, like, "Oh, Bama BYU, that's going to be 180." And I was exaggerating, but you know what? That it's getting there. We're up like 175.5 in some spots. I still like the over. If you just look at when Bama has totals of these 170 or higher, so you know, we go into the game thinking it's a team that's going to run and gun with them. Let me just read you some of the scores. They played Florida 3 times. The final score, total points: 193, 202, 186. Kentucky 179, Missouri 208. 2 times they played Auburn, 179 and 184, and then Texas 183. So it's like you can't make these totals high enough when you get these teams that want to shoot the three with them. BYU, I think, 18th in the country, 3-point attempts per game. Bama's 8th. They both shoot about 29 per game. So the pace is going to be there. The attempts are going to be there. Obviously, you have to worry, all right, big game. Do they get tense? Do they get tight? Do they miss shots or is it slow down? I don't think it's going to slow down at all. I think the winner is probably in the 90s here. So I like the over in this one.
Yeah, Bama themselves, well, they average 91 points a game this year. 91 at average. Average points for a college basketball team.
Not enough for those of us that had a live over in St. Mary's, Bama.
No.
I didn't listen to it all yesterday yet. I'm not sure how much you just – some of these live ones that – oh, my goodness. The Florida the other night where they needed 1 point with 3 minutes to go. Some of these, like, you can't even make it up. Some of the bad breaks been getting these live ones. I do, half joking, I do worry about Todd Wishnev's sanity, mental well-being, because he's made some great bets that are just like, man, how did that one lose? And they keep coming. Even yesterday in the CBI, CIT, whatever that one was, we need like 4 points in 3 minutes or missing free throws all the place. And they come in bunches. It's almost, I think you've made this point before, you use this line. It's like somebody's playing a cruel joke on you. That's certainly how it seemed lately.
When it is relentless, it is relentless. And at some point, you're like, this is a joke, right? This can't keep happening. The in-game stuff, which is what we spend most of our time doing with college basketball, yes. He was on, talking about Todd, he was on a ridiculous streak prior to the conference tournaments, the second week of conference tournaments, so in other words, the big conferences. And then, yes, all of those started to happen. It was just an avalanche. Besides the total in the Bama-BYU game, any sides?
I like Arkansas plus 5.5. Now, wouldn't it be ironic if after all these years of Calipari underachieving with high lottery picks, big-time talent, if he's like the Cinderella of the tournament? He's actually, if you look, JVT brought this up on the show the other day. He's been great as an underdog in the tournament. And you could take their 10 seed in their regular season performance and kind of throw it out, because coming into the year, they were the 16th team in the country. They got a pro back in Fland, who's going to be a first round pick, and they might be getting Thiero back. I can't tell if it's gamesmanship, and they were saying he was close to playing against St. John's. He should be good to go this week. We'll see, but he's another NBA guy. They just got athletic. They got big bodies. They've got athletes. They've got shot makers. To me, 5.5 is a lot. To me, it's a house money game with Calipari, who was 0-5, 0-6 in conference play, and now you look up and they're like, man, they're not even going to make the NIT. Now they get onto the bubble, through the bubble, win a couple games, and to me, anything from here is gravy. I wouldn't be shocked if they won this game. Who knows, you know, McMillan's status for Texas Tech. To me, this will be a close game, and I'll take the 5.5 with Arkansas.
Are you buying into what I and so many others probably said this weekend and yesterday, that we may not have the NCAA tournament for what we've become accustomed to for all of our lives moving forward? Maybe it's already started because of the transfer portal. And I go back to the Megapod, and I don't say this to in any way, you know, you and Todd are much more granular on college basketball than I'll ever be. And you guys had the great calls 2 years ago. You had FAU in the Final Four. He had San Diego State against UConn in the finals. He had Michigan State going far that year. It was just epic. And then this year, you know, you guys sprinkled it in too, right? You had UCSD going to the Final Four. I think you had Illinois in the Elite Eight. Todd had some brazen calls as well. This is the first year. And by the way, I went 1-2-1-3-1-2-1-2. This is the first year where I have my Elite Eight intact going into the Sweet 16. And I'm not the guy to get that right. So it's just a reflection of how different this seems to be. And I'm just curious if you think this is a portent of things to come.
I do. In the original bracket I did, it was like a lot of chalk. It was all ones and twos. Like, you know what? I can't do this. This never happens. This isn't the tournament. This isn't any fun. There is a fun element to it. Like, and not only just the fun element, I mean, just look at past tournaments. It's usually a blend of, all right, this is what you'd expect. And then you get one or two teams out of nowhere. And that's why we love it. I do think that the gap is widening. You talk about this in baseball, the gap between the haves and the have-nots. It's when you can pick off these best players from the mid-majors. These mid-majors basically now have to hit a two-leg parlay of finding the undervalued talent, which is one. And that's the easier part. The harder part is keeping them, because if they're any good, they're going to get bought off by one of these bigger schools. I mean, look at Clayton Jr. was at Iona. Now he's at Florida. Wolf was at Yale. Now he's at Michigan. You go down the line. Broom was at Moorhead. You can't keep these guys. And it makes it really hard. It used to be the last 10, 15 years, once you started to have the one and dones, these mid-majors were on somewhat equal footing because they had the continuity. They had the experience. They had 21, 22-year-olds that would stay. While the Power Five conferences, they had the lottery picks, the NBA guys, but they were one and done. They were 18. So it was a fair fight. It's looking like if this continues, it's going to be hard, you know, for that fair fight to continue. It's almost like in football, if the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bills, the Eagles were able to pick off players from like the Jets and the Giants, and Malik Nabers could go in the transfer portal and go to the Chiefs. Like, wow, the Giants are worse and the Chiefs are better. And that's kind of what we're seeing in college hoops.
Yeah. There, by the way, here, if flash that up, guys, if you could. There's my Elite Eight from the Megapod. That's Tennessee at the bottom that I had advancing. And then I have Duke over Florida in the finals. I'm sure there's millions like me who still have their Elite Eight intact because of the way the cookie crumbles now. All right. Before you go, Will. You're a Yankees fan. Season's about to start. Give me their final record.
90-72.
Ooh, you give them 90 still. Okay. Is that a playoff team? They win the division with that?
Wild card.
Wild card. That's more bullish than I thought you'd be. I thought you were going to go 85 and 70.
They still Judge if he's healthy. Good bullpen. Decent starting. I could see it being worse. Trust me. I could see it being worse.
He's back. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it, man.
See you guys.
Will Hill, everybody. Not the Will Hill, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We'll come back. Paul Spohr. I don't know if it's one segment, two segments. Kelly's doing the Kevin Willard thing. Who wants the ball? We'll find out next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Are you ready to take your sports betting to the next level? The Sharp Plays at sharpplays.com is your secret weapon. Since 2011, they've been building trusted relationships with major sportsbooks and sports insiders worldwide. They provide daily updates on what top professional sports bettors and betting groups are wagering on, so you're always ahead of the game. But that's not all. They just launched a cutting-edge AI betting analyst that provides even more selections and reports, giving you the edge you need to win. The best part, you can check out the Sharp Plays free content anytime. Get real-time betting action reports, alerts, and more through email and X directly from the pros. Plus, explore all of their records, including detailed online logs, right on the website at sharpplays.com. And with the Sharp Plays, you're joining a team that's never had a losing year. What do you have to lose? Start today. Get access to the best betting insights at sharpplays.com. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Skill Alexander, how you doing? Jack and a Prius 2.0. Okay. When does the hedging start for these, and how the hell should I do it? Arkansas to win the title at 1,000-1, and Michigan to win the title at 190-1. Well, Jack and a Prius 2.0, you don't really have a natural hedge at the current moment. What you could hope for, perhaps, is Arkansas or Michigan to take leads in their respective games, right? And then get some plus money price on the other side. I don't know how much you can get down. I don't know how much you put down on these futures, but that's... that would be the first sort of opportunity anyway. But right at this moment, there's not really not much to do.
I don't know if I wouldn't even be considering anything till like the final four.
Yeah.
There's no real clean way to do this.
There isn't. A. Brown, down in Jungle Land. My childhood equivalent to Gil cutting ties with Bill Simmons. Well, I didn't have any ties with him, but yeah, the story I was telling about when he was the Boston sports guy. And I loved Bill Simmons as the Boston sports guy. But it's funny, when something like that happens to you when you're younger... he's like, I'm sorry, your 18-point comeback to score the last 18 in a playoff game against Moses Malone, Dr. J, and Charles Barkley doesn't count because it's not the, basically saying it's because it's not the Celtics or Lakers. You know, I was like, okay, that's it. He goes, his childhood equivalent to cutting ties with Bill Simmons was Mitch Williams when he skipped over 9-year-old me waiting for an autograph during batting practice. Guy was a Philly legend, but I never forgave him for it. Well, that and giving up a walk-off moonshot to Joe Blanken Carter. Yeah, that too, of course. You ever have somebody like that where you're like,
I was just trying to think. Like,
I can't do that anymore.
I kind of only remember like the nice ones.
My older brother had one. Sonny Jurgensen's mother-in-law. This is when my brother was a kid. So this is ancient.
Yeah, we're just talking when we were kids, right?
Kids.
I mean, like members of the media.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
Story.
Yeah, I could go on for days.
Kids.
Yeah.
Stuff when you're like young and it makes an impression on you. I wasn't like super young with Bill Simmons, but I was young enough. Sonny Jurgensen's mother-in-law lived around the corner from us. And one morning it got out that Sonny Jurgensen was at his mother-in-law's. So my brother and his band of friends went over there to get autographs from Sonny. And Sonny couldn't be bothered to come to the door. So they took their paper and then they came back with the mother-in-law came back with Sonny Jurgensen's autograph. So they were so upset that they didn't meet him that for the rest of his life, my brother called him Sonny Jurgensen. That was his comeback on him that he made him happy the rest of his life.
I feel like I'm blanking on one or two, but as we're about to lead into Paul Sporer, I've got at least a funny baseball one for you. So I'm at a Marlins game when I'm like probably like 14, 15 years old, something like that, right? Probably 15. It's a Marlins game. I went because the Giants are in town and the greatest player to ever hit a baseball was in the game, right? So that's who I wanted to go see was Barry Bonds. And I'm at the game. It's a Marlins game. The Marlins being the Marlins are so bad, nobody's there, right? And they try to do a dizzy bat contest during like the seventh inning stretch with like kids from the stands. There's not enough kids at the game, Gil, that I get selected when I'm like 15. And I'm like, all right, fine, cool. Like, Barry Bonds is out there. Like, this is fine. And I got a little fist bump from Barry Bonds.
Barry Lamar Bonds.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
Because he was running out after we finished the Dizzy Bat.
And you loved him forever.
And I crushed those kids in the Dizzy Bat contest.
Paul Sporer joins us for FanGraphs now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's actually on a meeting right now, but he's taking time out to talk to us. You have a similar thing, Paul, for anybody that snubbed you?
I'm trying. No, not anybody that snubbed me. I have some positive experiences.
Oh, okay.
I met Chris Berman at Tiger Stadium. And he let my dweeby 12-year-old ass talk his ear off all night, man.
That'd be great. I'd love to have seen that.
It was the nicest. It was unbelievable. So, you know, even as maybe he lost his fastball a little bit, I always held an affinity.
That's very, That's super nice of you, and that makes sense. Even when he lost his fastball, you still have that soft spot for him. All right, Paul, you have come on this show multiple times heading up to the baseball season. I know we've had our two games in Tokyo, but generally the opening day is in a couple days. You've given lots of plays, teams with divisions, other team futures. You've given individual awards. If I ask you right now, which I'm about to, so it's not an if, but I ask you, which are the ones that you feel the most solid about? If someone is just tuning into you now, give me three that you're like, I still love these more than any of them.
Ooh, that is good. I like that. I think, okay, kind of going back to some of my team ones, still pretty hot on the Athletics. They have no city. We cannot call them.
Cannot. Athletics. That's it.
If you do, we'll shank you. But yes, I'm still pretty keen on that ball club. I like a lot of the things that they've got. They're not like an amazing team. I want to say there was a over under 77.5. Is that still the right number? Oh, of course, it might have changed from where we were originally. But that's a team that I still like. And there were a couple of the lower tier teams that stood out to me. And the other one in the National League that is kind of the same variety would be the Nationals. And these are two teams that are kind of like upstarty that I think are really putting some things together. And I think both of them kind of start on offense. You know, Brent Rooker, Lawrence Butler kind of get all the juice in Oakland. And they really are the kind of the guys who lead it, but they've got some competent pitching as well. But then when you look at the Nats, I think their lineup runs deep. The whole lineup, I think, it is compelling. And we can see that this team really take a step forward. You know, we're doing bold predictions over at Fangraphs. And mine, when it comes out, is that they're going to be a top 10 team in WRC+, the Nats. I love the Nathaniel Lowe and Josh Bell signings. Josh Bell coming back out there where he put up a 127 OPS plus out in Washington before. It's a great place to hit. They've got the young guys at the top, Abrams, Cruz, Wood. Add with Bell and Lowe, who both are going to play DH first base, Luis Garcia, Keber Ruiz. You know, he lost a bunch of weight, had a really rough season last year. I'm kind of eager to see him bounce back. 232 BABIP, I don't really buy that. And even Jacob Young and Paul DeJong as kind of the two lower-end guys. You know, Jacob Young just played great center field. I don't even necessarily need you to hit. Paul DeJong, the one thing he does is kind of smash bombs. So he's going to be playing some third. I'm a Jose Tena guy. But they're 72.5, and I think that they've got the juice to beat that. It's a tough division. And their bullpen doesn't excite me, but I do like a lot of their rotation. Gore showed a lot of things last year. Jake Irvin, Mitchell Parker really showed the ability to take turns throughout the rotation and put up quality starts. Michael Soroka, two up, two down in spring. He had two great starts, two horrendous ones. We don't really know where he's at. As long as the two horrendous starts aren't indicative of another injury, because that's been the issue with Soroka his entire career, I think that the Nats are kind of a compelling team to kind of win upper 70s, maybe even mess around and push 500. So those two low-end teams were two that I really like. And then my Fernando Tatis home runs. And then kind of you could put a little extra on MVP with him, although he's a MVP favorite. But he's more of a home run, middle of the board, or even dog. I just think there's an MVP season in Tatis's bat still. So I'm still very, very interested in him. I don't think he's getting a lot of run for MVP. And so that's where I went with MVP was Fernando Tatis. He's still 21. So he's still fifth on the board. I think that's home runs. So he's still, you know, not an uber favorite, but also not a long shot dog that you can't possibly see how it gets there. So I love Tatis. I still think he's going to be a monster.
By the way, hello, Charlotte, who has made an appearance in the back there, taking her seat on the bench, on the couch. Yeah.
He said dog, too.
He did say dog. Long shot dog. Okay, I need one clarification, and then I need you to be the arbiter. I need you to be the tiebreaker on something. The clarification, Nationals, I assume you mean they'll go over their season win total. I assume you mean they're not going to win their division. But no. Would you play plus 850 for them to make the playoffs?
I could get down with that. Yeah, actually, I could. Because it's like kind of my long shot playoff dark horse. I'm focused more on the wins. You know, I like to say, you know, if I'm going to go full unit on something like that, I'm doing a quarter, half unit on the playoffs just in case things get really crazy. Because the pitching is still a little wobblier than I would feel super confident in saying they can make the playoffs. But that offense, again, it runs 1-9 deep. And even with some bench guys that are interesting, Jose Tena, Ahmed Rosario can hit lefties. If I had a little bit more confidence in their pitching, I would probably be a little bit more gung-ho on the playoffs.
All right, and then I need you to settle this dispute. Again, two numbers game guests. Steve Fezzik is betting the over on the Dodgers season win total. By the way, they're already 2-0, so you'd have to find an adjusted at this point that's still up there. Joe Pita wanted no part of that. He thinks it's priced to perfection. It's 103.5. Where is your take on this?
Boy, I hate to go against Fezzik, but I'm on the Pita side. Yeah. It is really well priced. And I know I keep making an outdated reference to them to call them the load management Spurs because that team doesn't exist anymore. But that's what they remind me of, is the load management Spurs of the Manu, Tony Parker, Tim Duncan era, where they just, not that they don't have to try, but that they can kind of take it easy throughout the season and just massage their way through the 6 months so that they've got what they need going into October. So I think 103.5 is perfectly priced. I lean with Pita toward the under.
Paulie, always great to see you. Enjoy opening day, my friend.
Thank you. You guys too. Talk to you later.
Paul Sporer, at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R on the old Twitter machine. Coming back right here on A Numbers Game.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
It's Julie Stewart Banks. I'm doing a new podcast from iHeart Podcasts and the National Hockey League, and I'm paired up with one of my favorite players, the always quotable Nate Thompson.
I wore 9 NHL sweaters, and I have story after story to share. And believe it or not, I have plenty to say, and not just about hockey.
Believe me, he does. Energy Line with Nate and JSB is the name of the podcast, and it's going to be, well, it's going to be quite the ride. We're officially line mates, Nate. We're the Energy Line.
We'll have plenty of folks join us, current players, some of my former teammates, Hall of Famers, and wait till you see some of the connections that Julie has. She has quite the Rolodex.
Okay, we'll lean into Nate's playing experience and tap into our interests away from hockey and try to do what Energy Lines are supposed to do, provide an emotional boost. How do you feel about all that, Nate?
I'm vibing, Julie. I'm ready to roll.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On November 5th, 2018, at 6:33 a.m., a red Volkswagen Golf was found abandoned in a ditch out in Sleep Hole Valley. The driver's seat door was open. No traces of footsteps leaving the vehicle. No belongings were found, except for a cassette tape lodged in the player. On that tape were 10 vile... Grotesque...
Oh my God!
Horrific stories that to this day have been kept restricted from the public. Until now. You feeling this too? A horror anthology podcast. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We ready to fight? I'm ready to fight.
Is that
I thought it was? Oh, this is fighting words. Okay, I'll put the hammer back.
Hi, I'm George M. Johnson, a best-selling author with the second most banned book in America. Now more than ever, we need to use our voices to fight back. And that's what we are doing on Fighting Words. We're not going to let anyone silence us.
That's the reason why they're banning books like yours, George. That's the reason why they're trying to stop the teaching of Black history, queer history, any history that challenges the whitewashed norm.
Or put us in a box.
Black people have never, ever depended on the so-called mainstream to support us. That's why we are great. We are the greatest culture makers in world history.
Listen to Fighting Words on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sports Betting Network.
Take your betting to the next level with First Bet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the Road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, First Bet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now, firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at firstbet.com. It's Gil Alexander. It's Radio's Gil Alexander. How you doing? We get tweets at Beating the Book. Rick Ollier. Hey, guys, no basketball last night, so I got caught up on White Lotus Season 3. And that's his whole tweet. I did, too. And, yeah.
Wow.
This is destined for... What's the opposite of destined for greatness? Yeah, whatever that is.
Destined for failure.
Two more episodes. It's not going to go well. In terms of a satisfactory ending.
I mean, this is going to be unfair because I'm not going to start it until Gil or someone convinces me it's actually worth it. But we are now talking about, in my opinion, a severe decline in this show's quality since season one.
Again, don't get me started. White Lotus 1, a masterpiece. White Lotus 2, season 2, just a notch below that. White Lotus season 3, it's like they forgot that plot development mattered.
Yeah, I just think we brought this up last week, but I think if season 2 was season 1, if you flip the two, we wouldn't have been nearly excited about this show.
Well, that's not how it happened. Primetime, Cowboys _Cubs 1. Yo, hey man, tell Country Club and Kelly Michael Bidlin, K. Michael Bidlin, that I want that ball. You want me to have that ball. You need me to have that ball. And in Bill Simmons' defense, I believe he meant that some cities teams like D.C. don't matter as much as others. It's a shot at D.C. from primetime right there.
There was this was not the play design, Gil, but Brooke Lopez ended up with the final shot for the Bucks last night, and I was just kind of laughing. Every NBA game last night, as soon as there was a timeout, I'm just laughing about what the conversation. All right, guys, who wants the ball here?
Who wants the ball?
Big moment, last shot, who wants the ball?
Novak, not that Novak, at S. Eskers. He has futures on, let's see here, Texas Tech, 60-1. To win it all, Arkansas 50-1, Florida 50-1, and he has Creighton. Creighton's not going to get home. But the others have a shot. Johnny Ringo. Yo, Kelly Dizzy Bat Bidlin. We finally found the nickname. Jack and a Prius 2.0 checks back in. That, he said, man. Thanks, guys. You said exactly what I was thinking. No real hedge opportunity quite yet. I just figured if there was something I was missing or not thinking of, you guys would know what it was. Had Oregon to make the Sweet 16. Hedge with Zona in game at +3.5. Jamie Leva, Kelly at the Dizzy Bat Contest pre-Bonds fist bump. Have a fantastic day, gentlemen.
I mean, legit, Gil, like Bonds had a smile on his face. I think he legit was getting a kick out of like me in this Dizzy Bat Contest being like 7 years older than the next youngest kid in there or oldest kid in there. And yeah, he was nice enough though, man. Brant was running out to left field. I was like, I'm making my way over to Barry Bonds. Well, they can kick me out if they want.
Barry Lamar Bonds, misunderstood. Jack 14770548, 1979, reading Phils. Dickie Knowles on rehab assignment. Just heard on the radio, Big Phils had taken lead. The Major League Phillies had taken the lead in their game. I run down to the bullpen, excited to tell Dickie the Phils are winning. His response: "What the blank do I care?" He hated Dickie Knowles ever since. That's so funny. It's all it takes. Roger Jones, guys, dumb guy question. Do you guys think it's possible persons or groups are manipulating these award markets by tickling the wire to get the best prices on the top contenders, or it's just that volatile?
Oh, this is not a dumb question at all.
It's not a dumb question at all. Man.
This is very, very much what's going on. I mean, there are... The Dyson Daniels steam and most improved player, I mean, I know directly links back to... a person, a group. Like this is what happens when there's a little bit.
Yeah.
Some of these awards are up in the air. Guys look for, groups look for. I'm not going to say that they're unreasonable cases, but a good case that's too far out and bet it. And then, like you said, the steam picks up. People pick up that it's getting some bet, and they bet.
Some people accuse us of doing it.
Like, right, exactly. Yeah.
You're using your bully pulpit to do, you know, to get this, you know, manifest this.
It absolutely happens, though. I mean, that is the biggest reason for. No matter what you think about Draymond Green and if he should be defensive player of the year or not, that is the single biggest reason of why his odds have moved and moved as quickly as they have in 2 weeks.
The March of the Penguins. Telling you.
I want to circle back to something, because this I was actually having this conversation over text with Matt Brown over this weekend. We were talking about golf. Jack and Aprius, this kind of goes back to your question about betting futures, and I think with some of the betting options we have available to us now, Gil, and we don't have as many here in Las Vegas, so we don't often think about the different options, and I think you and I and others here in Nevada sometimes laugh at some of the cash out options that we see, right? On some of the bets, and some of it's just mistimed, and it's, hey, they're trying to get you most of the time to get your money out early when you're in a good position with your bet, right? I think it's interesting if you're betting some of these futures. Let's say it's two shops that have the same odds up for the same bet that you're trying to make. And you know it's two shops, or one of the shops has a cash out option. I think it's probably a smart strategy going forward, that instead of making that bet at one of the shops, is splitting up the bet and betting at both shops to give yourself that cash out option at some point down the line, because then you have a clean hedge out opportunity where you could let that one bet ride at one shop and the other shop you could cash out, take a little back. If that's where you're really trying to do, if you're determined to monetize this ticket somehow,
if you're determined, yes.
Determined to monetize the ticket somehow, that's a
whole nother discussion, which I have my opinions on, because some people are way too determined.
Correct.
Right. Why'd you make the bet in the first place then? What changed? Right. That kind of stuff. But I understand what you're saying.
And I think it's something that I do because, you know, like you, I'm very hesitant to hedge or hedge too much in most sports. In golf, when you're betting it every week, I have stronger feelings about locking in some profit when you have the opportunity. So Matt and I kind of got talking about it because of that. He had a Jacob Bridgman ticket last week and was being offered a cash out at MGM. And it just kind of got me thinking about this, where it's, you know, look, the times that you're going to get offered the same price at multiple books is going to be few enough alone that I don't think you're going to have the opportunity to do this very often. But it's something I'm logging in the back of my mind going forward.
Yeah. Just the cash out math is so bad so often. Todd got a really unbelievable one like last week, where a team that he was betting on, and the details will be wrong here, but you'll get the idea. Some college basketball team he was betting on was like up 20 points. Mm-hmm. Like there was no possible way they could lose it. And the cash out was literally like 20 cents less than what he would have gotten if he won the bet.
Oh, yeah.
To which... Yeah. Right. We immediately said, well, just take the money. Like, don't even worry about the bet. The bet's over. Take the money minus 20 cents. You're done. And he's like, right. Like, I had to stare at it like three different times to make sure that that's what they were offering me, because you never see that. Right.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know, that team ended up in a dogfight at the end of the game. They might have even lost. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember the detail on it. But so every once in a while, you'll get this cash out thing where you're like, wow, is this for real?
I mean, I have seen it both shockingly too high, it feels like, and shockingly, I mean, a lot of times shockingly too low.
I have never once seen a shockingly too high for me, but in that case it was. Okay. Yeah.
I just wonder how much they follow, that thing follows directly. Like, how many times do we laugh at, like, the win ESPN win probability, 99%. Like, we bring up 70 games a year where it was 99% with a minute left and somehow it got blown. I wonder if they're just kind of following that stuff, and that's how they're setting the cash out.
Hoops by Hoots. Mine is Larry Bird. 2004, as a 10-year-old diehard Carmelo Anthony fan, my parents took me to see him in Indy and got great seats. Bird is sitting two rows behind us. I walk up to ask for an autograph. He looks to his bodyguard, in quotes, next to him and says, "Get him away." Yeah, that'll make you hate Larry.
Yeah.
You know where I thought you were going with alternative things in betting? I thought you were going with the thing that Vegas Chump brought up on Twitter, which, you know, it's not just him bringing it up, but he's the one that I remember bringing up, because it's true. We always talk about to win the title, right? But you could bet to win the final, to get to the final four. And I do feel like we don't pay enough attention to those kinds of markets,
yeah.
Right? And right now you can still bet to make the final four, even though we have now, we're down to what, four teams per bracket, four teams per region. And so if we could flash those up, guys, because I think here you may have some opportunity.
What they're doing, most books are doing now, it's odds to win whichever region, right? You kind of had final four prices beforehand.
That's make the final four still,
right?
To win region, right? Same, however it's phrased, right? So to win the South region, you have Auburn, Michigan State, Ole Miss, and Michigan. If you're forced to make a bet here, you know, is Ole Miss the interesting play at plus 650? Because even though I'm on Michigan against Auburn, I don't think they're beating Auburn. But Ole Miss is only a 2.5-point favorite against Michigan State, and I think they're actually live. So plus 650, I don't know. You'd have to obviously project what their number will be against Auburn, but plus 650. If you gave me one here, it feels like Ole Miss might be the play, even though I have Auburn getting there. But these are interesting, right? Because if you go region by region, let's go to another one here real quick.
I'd probably go Michigan State, but I think because like you're talking about that game being so tightly lined, either one of those could work.
Houston, this is the Midwest now. Houston, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Purdue. Houston plays Purdue. They're 7.5-point favorites. Kentucky is a 4.5-point dog against Tennessee. I mean, I have chalk here, so there's nothing I love here. So far, Ole Miss. To the West, Florida, Texas Tech, Maryland, and Arkansas. Some people think Maryland's live against Florida. Maybe you want that plus 470. You only have to win two games, right? So if you have conviction on Maryland, that might be an alternative way to play them. Let's put it that way. I'm not, but just these options are available. Those numbers courtesy of FanDuel, by the way, per region. We will come back. How about some Drew Dinsick? Let's talk some NBA and tennis next.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase of 16 weeks, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin. And most of those people maintained skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
This is Nikki Glaser from the Nikki Glaser Podcast. Have you guys seen this new commercial from Stand Up to All Hate? It's basically Snoop Dogg and Tom Brady going back and forth with reasons that they hate each other. But then when you really listen to them, the reasons for the hate are just so stupid. I don't know. This commercial really got me. It's a strong reminder that hate in our country continues to be out of control. So join us at iHeart in standing up to it. If you see hate, speak up, call it out. Your voice is a powerful tool in this fight. You can learn more by following at What's Up With Hate.
What's up, everyone? Julie Stewart Binks here, along with former NHL player Nate Thompson.
We're doing a new podcast together. Here we go.
The name? Energy Line with Nate and JSB.
Each week, we'll get together and talk about hockey, life, all topics are fair game, right?
Exactly. And you'll never know who will drop by to join us.
Julie is pretty well connected. She has text threads going that you wouldn't believe.
Listen to Energy Line with Nate and JSB on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Mel Reed, LPGA Tour winner and six-time Ladies European Tour winner.
And Kira K. Dixon, NBC Sports reporter and host.
And we've got a new podcast, Quiet Please, with Mel.
And Kira, we are bringing you spicy takes on sports and pop culture, some interviews with incredible people who have figured out how to make golf their superpower.
An iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment. You can find us on iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by Elf Beauty, founding partner of iHeart Women's Sports.